Let me talk to you about some myths for a second. We're in a big series of lessons on family and on marriage this month. And we've been that is not me, by the way, up there. We've been talking about marriage the last few weeks. We started off by talking about some of the biggest lies that our society and Satan sell us in marriage. And then last week we talked about women and how women are really beautiful. God loves women, and don't define yourselves. Don't build your character around the wrong things. And we talked about women last week. This week we're going to talk a little bit about wives and what they need from their husbands. And let me just tell you real quick, wives, grab pencils, grab paper, take lots of notes for your husbands because they're not going to want to hear it. But this is good stuff, all right? And then next week we're going to kind of turn the shoe on the other foot. But let me just give you a couple things. Look at these pictures for a second. I actually have shown you a couple of these before. Myths. This is one of them. This is a myth of Bigfoot. Somehow, some way, we have yet to produce any evidence that Bigfoot really exists other than a couple of high school boys with about a size 16 shoe. Here is another myth. The myth of Nellie or the Loch Ness Monster. You've probably heard about that. And if you'll remember, I love the story that Billy Wilson tells, who grew up in Scotland. I asked him about this. I said, is this really true? Is there really a monster out in that Loch Ness, that lake out there? And he says, you ask any good Scotsman who's had a fifth of whiskey, and they'll tell you he's there, you know. And then there's this myth of the unicorn. You know, we don't have any example of that ever existing. Paul Bunyan and his old blue ox blue. There's a big myth. And then here's another myth that may surprise you. At least a lot of folks think it's a myth. And that is a few myths that you've heard of. If you make an ugly face, your mom ever tell you this one? Be careful because it might stick. Yeah, that's just an old myth. And it might stick or it might freeze. How about this one? Don't play with matches. I've brought this one up before. Or you might. Do you remember this one? Wet the bed. Some of you said, I've never heard that before. My mom used that on me all the time. But her sense of humor was a little warped like mine too. I was scared to death to use matches when I was a kid. If you cross your eyes, they just might stick. Yeah, you know that's a myth. You can't stick your eyes like that. It just doesn't happen, but we love to say that. Don't swallow gum because it won't, and you remember hearing this? It won't come out of there for 7 years. That's the biggest myth in the world. If you're a mama, you know where to find that gum about 2 days later, right? I've changed them diapers, I know. How about the old myth that says you can swallow your... be careful because you can swallow your tongue and you might choke. Let me just tell you from a medical standpoint, you can't on purpose swallow your tongue. It can't happen. So you don't have to worry about that. Here's another myth for you for a second, all right? The other myth says... Let me squeeze through these real quick. This is not a myth. I can have a great marriage. It is true. I don't know where you are in your marriage right now. I don't know how bad your marriage is. I don't know how great your marriage is. I don't know where you are, where you sit in marriage, but I can promise you, you can have a great marriage. You can have a great marriage. It's not a myth. It takes work. It takes two sides saying, hey, I am ready to go to work to figure out what it takes to have a good marriage. And if there's issues or struggles or troubles in your marriage, it will take whatever that problem is in your marriage of saying, hey, I'm going to quit whatever it is that's causing problems. But it can happen. You can have a good marriage. And we're going to talk about this more in 2 weeks, but let me just say this. If you have problems in your marriage, if you have issues or what they call sometimes an impasse, where you have something you just can't figure out how to handle it, you can still have a great marriage, but sometimes what you've got to do is seek outside help. Worst thing you can do is just sweep things under a rug. You got to say, hey, I need some help with this thing, instead of just saying, hey, maybe it will just disappear and go away. We'll look at that in a while. But here's some things that we're going to talk about this morning that can really help in your relationship with your spouse if you are a husband. And husbands, we're talking to you today. This is your sermon. And we're really going to try not to pull any punches and just shoot pretty straight on some things that the Bible says and that we have learned, or that we know that husbands need to do these things. Wives are going, hey, this is what I want. This is what I want. And I know there may be more than seven that I'm going to give you today. And some of these, wives, you may listen to and go, hey, that's really not one of the things I need, but this is over here. That's why I'll give you a homework assignment at the end to discuss some of these things. But we're going to talk about seven things wives wished their husbands knew about them. All right? So if you want to follow along, here we go. Let's figure out what it is that wives really wished husbands would do. And here's number one. The very first thing right off the top of the list that wives wished their husbands knew was that she wants you to be affectionate. That doesn't mean for you to be weak or you to be girly. That means for you to show her some affection. That's what 9.9 wives out of 10 would like to have from their husbands. Now here's a few things that you can do. Here's what affection is. Affection is telling her things, nice things through words. For example, tell her daily that you love her. Make sure she knows that you love her. Don't be one of these guys who come along and go, well, I told her the day we got married, and if it ever changes, I'll let her know. Well, let me tell you something. You need some help if that's kind of your philosophy on marriage, all right? Because she needs to hear on a daily basis that you are still in love with her. She needs to hear those words come from your lips. You need to compliment her daily. That's affection. That means you need to say some things about her. You need to tell her she looks nice. She is pretty. I like the way she's doing her hair. You need to compliment her daily. Tell her, hey, lunch was fantastic. I love it when you do this or that. But she needs to hear you say some nice things about her on a daily basis. Praise her publicly. That is something that is just fantastic. You want to see your wife's eyes light up? Say something to her around where she hears it. Something positive about who she is to the people that are around her. You know, husbands sometimes tend to think it's really macho to kind of knock down their wives or knock down marriage or whatever it is. But let me just tell you something. You want to see your wife light up and just make her whole day, say something publicly in front of your friends or in front of her friends about just how pretty she looks today or something along those lines. Say something positive. I had a guy that I knew one time that I mentioned some of these things to, and everything I'd say, he'd laugh. Like, and he'd say, oh yeah, like that's ever going to happen in my house. And I'd say, well, you know, hey, one of the things we need to do is compliment our wives. Well, if I could find something good to say, I might try to do it. And everything he had was a big joke about his marriage. Would you believe about 6 months later, he sat in my office saying, I just don't know why my wife left me. And I'm going, are you nuts? If you're anything like the jerk that showed up that day that was laughing at everything and never saying anything nice about her, I can kind of get an idea why she don't want to live with a guy like you. Another way you can show affection is with written words. When's the last time you wrote her a note? And I'm not talking about a to-do list while you're gone during the day. I'm talking a real live note that says something along the lines of, here's what I love about you. I hope you have a great day. Or when you're reading something in the Bible, say, hey, this verse made me think about something about you. And make sure it's a good verse too, all right? Use written words to praise her. Do it creatively. Women love for you. Wives want you to be creative. Now let me tell you about my friend Billy, all right? Because Billy is not very creative. And so it kind of cancels out all the things that we've already talked about already. Let me explain. Billy's pretty good at buying some gifts, and he's pretty good sometimes writing some things. But basically what he does is he'll find something on sale and he'll buy a whole bunch of little cutesy things and he puts them in the top of the closet. And his wife knows they're there, and anytime he gets in trouble, he pulls one out and says, "Here, I was thinking about you today." Well, that don't fly very well. There's not a lot of creativity to saying, "Let me go see what's in the top of my closet that I might can give you for your birthday or your anniversary." That means put some thought into your spouse. Give your wife a little bit of thought. Make it be a little creative, all right? With actions. So it's not just words. It's not just written words. Do some actions. For example, hold hands. When's the last time you, husband, were the ones that reached over to hold her hand? Do it in public. Most women really like it when they hold a husband will hold their hand in public. Send her flowers. When's the last time you sent her a flower? I found out, it took me a few years to figure out that I didn't have to buy a dozen roses and break the bank. My wife was pretty content with one flower. I like that because I can be kind of cheap sometimes. I could just send one. Let me tell you a Bible verse. I'll read it to you and you can look it up a little bit later. I hope you're filling in some stuff as we go on the handout that you got this morning. In Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 22, this is for you husbands, because Solomon says, got to get it through their skull. He says, "He who finds a wife finds what is good." If you have found a wife, you have found what is good. If you're saying, "Well, my wife just didn't always very good," then maybe you need to start being the one that builds her up and gives her the affection that she needs in her marriage. Someone made this comment. One author writes, and he says, affection to a woman is like just as necessary as air to a human. That a woman needs affection from her husband just as much as we need air as humans. That's a whole lot, right? Because without air, you can die. Without affection in your marriage, you know what's going to happen? It's possible that it could die, all right? So one of the things she wants is affection. Now, homework assignment after number one, ask your wife today, husbands, where are we on this affection thing? How am I doing? Give me a rating between 1 and 10. Number 1, I'm failing horrible, and 10, I'm doing all right. How am I doing on the affection thing? Ask them today, all right? Look at number 2. Here's something else your wife would like to have. She wants you to pursue her. She wants you to pursue her. Now, we're not talking about sexually, we're talking emotionally. That is the goal of a husband, is to seek your wife emotionally. And we'll talk about the other a little bit more next week. But that pursuit is in the sense of try to win her. Now, if you forget everything else this morning, if you can just get home with this one small bullet point, then I will have succeeded today. Here's the thing that I want you to catch. Because here's the thing that husbands make the biggest mistake on out there that's going on today. And that is, husbands, when you forget to seek to keep her, when you quit pursuing her as strongly as you did to win her, the thing husbands have to do is they have to continue to win her just like they did before they married her. Now, let me explain with a quick story, all right? When you met your wife, y'all saw each other and maybe you felt them feelings and you thought, "Oh, he's cute," and she thought, "Oh, he thought, oh, she's pretty." And y'all began to get to know one another. And she said, "I'm trying to figure out if I can trust this guy." And he said, "What do I got to do to make her mine?" So he starts in and says, "Here's my game plan." And guys just make a game plan because that's how guys are. And they sit down and go, "Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to do things like buy her flowers, and I'm going to write her notes, and I'm going to call her all the time for no reason, just to visit. And I'm going to do all these things," kind of like we talked on that last slide, "because I want to win her." And so he works to win her. And she finally says, "I think I can trust him. I like this guy. Look at all the great things that he's doing for me." And when he finally says, "Will you marry me?" she says, "Of course, you are so good to me. I love the way you're pursuing me." And so they get married, and you know what he does? He says, "I've won her. Why do I need to do all those things still?"
And she goes, hey, this isn't the guy I've married. Where's the flowers? Where's the calls for no reason at all? Where's the guy that used to write me notes? And he's going, well, hey, I did all that because I wanted to win you. And the biggest mistake men make is they do not continue to seek their wife or to keep their wife as strongly as they did to win their wife. If you can catch that point this morning and go back to pursuing your wife the way you did before you married her, I promise you, improvements, good things will happen in your marriage. I promise you. Look in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 25 with me. We read that a few moments ago, but let's look at that for a second. I want to tell you this is one of my favorite verses that deal with husbands and how they treat their wives. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 25. Paul writes this and says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave Himself up for her. Love your wives as Christ loved the church. How much did He love the church? Enough that He'd die for her. Now, I've asked some tough stuff this morning. Hold her hand. Write her a note. Send her some flowers. Pursue her. None of those are tough compared to dying, right? Paul says, you love her enough that you'd die for her. That makes holding hands pretty easy. Now, look at the first part of that verse. Love your wives. You know that word there for love? That word for love can also be translated treasure. You could easily translate this verse, treasure your wife. You know what you do with treasures? You protect them. Keep them clean. That means, you know, you keep them polished. They're beautiful. You take care of them. You go, hey, have you seen my treasure? Have you seen this? Look at this. That's what you do with treasure. Nobody beats up on treasure. Nobody just says, hey, just let it rot over there. I don't really care if it's getting any attention or not. You say, I'm going to clean this up. Let's treasure your wives. And you know, in biblically, when Paul wrote this, he used that word treasure in a continuous action, which means Paul wrote this and he said, continually treasure or love your wives. So it's not a one-time thing. It's an all-the-time thing. You constantly treasure your wife. Remember what Proverbs said? He who finds a wife finds what is good. Date your wife. Somebody will go, oh, I knew he was going to bring that up. Date your wife. You know how bad your wife, especially if you have children at home. I'm talking to those who still have kids at home. You need once a week a time to date your wife, to go out to eat somewhere, go see a show, get out of town, date your wife. Husbands, you want some extra bonus points that your wife will love you for? You find a babysitter. Instead of going, hey, you want to go out tonight? I don't know. You want to go out tonight? I don't know. What are we going to do with the kids? I don't know. Let's just stay home. Okay. Call and go, hey, we're going out tonight. Give me some ideas. Who can I call for a sitter? Better yet, say, we're going out tonight. Got the kids lined out. Well, I had supper planned. Doesn't matter. I'm fixing supper for you tonight. Woo, boy, you're going to do well on that one if you'll pull that off, all right? Open the door for her when you get in the car. Oh yeah, tell her she looks nice. Pull out her chair. Go on a date once a week. Just like you did before you married her. Go on a date. Find someone that can watch the kids and go on a date. I didn't bring it up. It's not up here, but I think about once every 6 months. If you've got kids at home, you need to find someone who will watch your kids overnight and you need to go on an out-of-town overnight date. That is healthy for your marriage. Healthy. It is so good. It's good for your kids. Trust me. They realize, hey, mom and dad, they really like each other. That's what kids need to see. Too many kids are seeing, hey, mom and dad live together. They sure fight a lot. It'd be nice if our kids look around and they go, man, mom and dad, they are madly in love with one another. They are best friends. It don't hurt them kids to leave them with a sitter or find somebody to watch them overnight and y'all get out of town somewhere. That's a good thing. That is healthy for your marriage. Number two, she wants you to pursue her, all right? How are you doing on that? Number three, we got to get going on this. She wants you to be committed to your family. Not her family, your family. You brought this family into the world and she wants you to be committed to it. You spell commitment, T-I-M-E. You cannot invest 80, 90 hours a week into an occupation and give T-I-M-E to your family and kids. Be involved in your kids' activities. Put your family before your occupation. Make sure your family knows, hey, Dad is a part of this family. Whatever it takes. They say that one of the top five needs from wives today is someone who will give family commitment. That will make their family just important to them as it is to the wife. How are you doing on that one? Look at number four. She wants you to talk with her. Oh, husbands are going, man, you have gone from preaching to meddling. No man likes to talk. And about things that don't really seem important. But she wants you to talk to her. She wants to share. She wants to find out what's going on in your world and vice versa. Did you know this? I think this is pretty interesting. Number two reason for divorce in marriage is lack of communication. And that is only behind financial issues is the number one. We'll talk about those in a couple of weeks too. Do you remember what happens? What takes place is pre-marriage. Remember that? Pre-marriage, you spend all your time talking on the phone and getting to know each other. I remember sitting out at the park for hours and just visiting about everything, likes and dislikes and family and this sort of stuff. And then somewhere after marriage, we begin to think, that stuff isn't important anymore. You know what wives are saying? Those are really important. And I still want to talk about those things. Get to know her again by going back over. Start that pre-marriage communication again where you just talk. You know, after I'd sit at the park with Lee for about 2 hours talking, I'd take her home because, you know, we'd have to be home at a certain time. I'd drop her off at the house and I'd go home. And you know what I'd do a lot of times before I went to bed? I'd call her on the phone and we'd talk again for a while. Yeah, that's what you did before you got married. But somewhere or another, once you get married, we become people who say, well, why do I need to know what her favorite color is or what she likes and how do I know why do I need to know what kind of ice cream she likes? Or, you know, and those were all just little things. And when your wife asks you how your day was, you know what she wants to know? She wants to know how your day was. For real. What she doesn't want to hear was, he's all right. How was your day? Or if she says, what'd you do today? Nothing. Boy, you talk about annoying a wife. Same old, same old. If she says, what'd you do today? You know what she wants to know? What did you do today? She means it. It's a question. That means she wants to know. It doesn't have to make sense to you guys. I promise you. It doesn't, you know, you may go, why does she want to know what I did today? I have the most boring life. But if she wants to know, you tell her. And if she says, what'd you do today? You can start by going, hey, I went to the office, got there about 8 o'clock. I went and had coffee or so-and-so. And I mean, just fill her in on what you did all day long. You know what that does? It lets her know that you shoot straight with her and you're honest. And just what your day was. Women like to communicate. And that is a big need in their lives. Ask questions. When you go on your date for supper, husbands, these are things she likes to hear. Hey, how are we doing? How are we doing? How are things with you at your work? Whatever it is. How are things going on in your life? Talk about things other than the kids. Too many times you go on a date, leave the kids at the sitter, and what do you do the whole time while you eat and supper for 2 hours? Talk about what all the kids have going. Talk about each other. Get your relationship together. And guys, toughest thing for men, sometimes we just need to listen. and not try to fix things. We are guys who try too hard sometimes to not listen and just say, all right, what is it? And I'll fix it. They just want you to hear them. You probably heard about the guy who decided he needed to make some changes in his marriage. So he went and talked to somebody. They said, hey, here's what you do. Instead of coming home in your dirty, greasy clothes, I want you to come home today and I want you to shower before you come home and put on some nice... Don't come home in your coveralls like you always do. You come home in some nice clothes with some khakis or whatever it is and press your shirt, look good. Flowers in hand, smelling good, ring the doorbell. But let her know you're making some changes. So he does just that. Changes. Boy, he goes home. He is excited about this. Rings the doorbell. Flowers in hand. She comes to the door, takes one look at him, and busts out bawling. He's kind of caught off guard. He says, well, what's wrong? She says, you don't know the kind of day I've had. It started early. Two of the kids got up sick this morning. The vacuum cleaner broke at lunchtime today. The dishwasher went out after lunch today, and now you've come home drunk. Look at the way you're dressed. Sometimes when we make a huge change, we may catch some people off guard. She may look at you and go, what'd you do wrong this time, you know? But there has to be some time in your life where you go, hey, I am ready to make some changes. And one of those changes, she would really like for you to talk to her. She wants you to be the spiritual leader in the family. I promise you this. She wants you to be the spiritual leader in the family. Ephesians chapter 6 verse 4 says, fathers, do not exasperate your children, but bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. God said, your job, dad, is to bring your children up in the training and instruction of the Lord. For too long, husbands have dropped the ball on being the leader in the home, and mom had to pick that up. And it is time, dad, that you say, all right, I'm stepping back up to the plate. I will be the spiritual leader in my home again. For too long, the women had to do it, and they've done a good job. Because the men have said, hey, that's a woman thing. The Bible says, dads, fathers, train your children. That's your job. Don't take them to church. Lead them to church. Be the Noah of the family. I love the story of Noah from the standpoint. Noah built the ark and preached for about 120 years. People always say, well, Noah wasn't very successful. He didn't have anybody else get on the ark. 120 years of preaching, nobody got on with him. You know who got on with Noah? His wife, his three boys, and their wives. He saved his wife and his family. Guess what? He was successful. If you get to heaven and you save your family and your kids, you've been successful. If I get to heaven someday and I have converted no one and saved no one but my wife and kids, I have been extremely successful as a minister. Be the Noah of the family. Seek to be the Noah of the family. Lead them to church. Don't bring them to church. Show them that God is important in your life. That means, dads, you can't pretend to be super nice guy on Sundays, blowing up on Mondays, cussing on Tuesdays, back again trying to do what's right on Wednesdays, and in the weekend, you got to live the life if your kids are going to see that God is important to you. Let them catch you reading your Bible. Let them catch you praying. And girls, let me say this. I'm talking to those who aren't married yet because this is just something that really needs to be brought out. Girls, take an interest in a guy who is interested in your God. If you're looking for a guy, don't date some crumb who says, I just don't care about your faith and your God and your church. I know a young lady one time fell madly in love with a guy. He asked her to marry him. She asked him, do I get all of you? Are you interested in what I... He said, I love you, but I'm not interested in your God and in your church. You know what she told him? I can't be interested in you. I remember people going, she did what? She said no? Do you know, 3 years later, she had another guy come along, ask her to marry her again. And he said, I'll be the leader in your family. I love God. They've been married now for about 14 years. He treats her like a queen. The smartest thing she ever did was seek a guy who was a guy after God's heart and not a guy after his own heart. Be the spiritual leader in your family. Number 6, very quickly. She wants you to help. I like this. This is good. Guys, here you go. If you both work, if you both have jobs outside of home, guess what you should do at home? Share the work, all right? That doesn't mean you have your job, guys. She's in charge of everything at home and she can handle it. All the kids is her stuff. All the mopping is her stuff. Whatever it is, share the load. Now, what about this one? Well, he works outside the home. She stays at home. Guess what? Guys, you should still share the work. When you come home from work, you don't have to plop yourself down in an easy chair going, hey, I am done for the day. What time is supper? Let me tell you something, and I think you can catch my point here. Men, you want your needs met? It starts in the kitchen. That means if you want to impress your wife, then you get up and you pick up some laundry and you pick up some toys and you play with the kids and you unload the dishwasher and you help clean the dishes out of the sink and you be a real man and share the load. And I can promise you, she's going to look over and go, I like him. If you let her do absolutely everything, she's going to think to herself, I don't know who he is, but he sure don't carry his weight around here. She would like for you to help. Simple enough, isn't it? You know what else she'd like? Promised you 7. She wants you to be honest with her. She wants you to be committed to her. She wants you to be the only woman in her life. And that includes your mom. That means you don't have a need to flirt with anybody else. You don't have a need to have a relationship, an emotional relationship with somebody outside your marriage because she is what you need. And you need to tell her absolutely everything. That means you don't hide stuff. You don't have to hide. You don't have to hide email. You don't have to hide bills. You don't have to hide cell phones. You don't have to hide text. Whatever it is. Tell her everything. Be open and honest. That is, again, one of the top 5 needs of women. 98% of all women say we want our husbands to be open and honest with us. So I ask you this. Here's the question. How you doing on this one? How you doing on helping? How are you doing on being the spiritual leader in your home? Husbands are out there going, I think you preached long enough, preacher man. Wives are out there going, hand me another pen, I'm out of ink. It's on CD, girls, you can get it there. No. Husbands, seek to pursue your wife just as much today as you did when you were trying to win her. You do that and all these other things, they'll fall into place. They will. They'll fall into place. Next Sunday, we're going to have a reversal of fortune. All right? We are going to have husbands, what they wish their wives understood about them. This is the week you want you bring your wife and say, come on, we got this is a week to start being the spiritual leader, going, I am leading us to church today. All right? We're going to talk about husbands next week. There is nothing more valuable in this world. Are you listening? There is nothing more valuable in this world, nothing that you own, more valuable in this world than your relationship with your wife. Guys, you may like your car that's in the driveway. You may like your home that you've either paid or trying to pay for. You have no relationship outside of God that is more important than that of your wife? Paul says, treasure her. She is of great value. My encouragement, find time this week to sit down with your wife and say, how we doing? You be a man and bring it up. Don't make her say, weren't we supposed to talk about something this week? You man up and say, all right, Trey gave us a homework challenge. Let's talk about how I'm doing on these certain things. Next week, we'll look at the other way around. We're off an invitation at this time. If you're here this morning, we can help you in any way. If you'd like for us to pray for you, if you need some encouragement, if you're ready to become a Christian and put on Christ, confessing Him as Son, we would love...